Patterns of Presence, Day 20, Mark 6, verse 48. Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. As we return to this verse today, we truly do pick up from where we've left off, because nothing has changed really. The disciples are still straining at the oars, they're still stuck. Their physical location hasn't changed, they're still in the middle of the lake. But what is different is the experience that they're about to have. As we approach this verse today, we shift in our focus to look almost entirely on what Jesus is doing. This is the moment of his grand entrance. This is the moment that Jesus walks into their circumstance. And according to the gospel writers, Jesus turned up shortly before dawn. Notice he doesn't turn up just as darkness falls, he doesn't turn up just as the winds begin to pick up, nor does he turn up at the first sign of the disciples straining at their oars. He turns up shortly before dawn. This, you could say, is an 11th hour manifestation. And this is something that perhaps many of us have come to understand about God. God is the God of the 11th hour. He's the God who always seems to turn up just in the nick of time, because his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and sadly, his timescales are not always our timescales. God is amazing. He does some incredible stuff. We can't live without him, and we all carry stories of what he has done and the way that he has changed us and impacted our lives. But truth is, God doesn't always work the way that we want him to, and neither does he always work within the time frames that we want him to. But despite that, one thing we are certain of is that God is always at work. Just because he doesn't always use our ideas or perform to our preferences or even act within the time scales that we want doesn't mean that he's not at work. Think about it. The moment that Jesus began working in the disciples' situation was the moment that he began walking into their situation. It was the very moment that he stepped foot onto the water to journey towards them. The passage says he saw them straining at the oars in the middle of the lake. He saw, he knew, he understood, he had compassion on them. His compassion stirred his action. And his action was to come down the mountain, step foot onto the troubled water and walk towards them. The activity of God was seen not just when he appeared on the periphery of their vision or when they saw him on the horizon walking towards them. His activity began when he stepped foot from the shore onto the water, because the only reason he was on the water, walking across the waves, was for them. It wasn't that he was bored or fancied stretching his supernatural muscles, so he thought to himself, I'll just go for a wander across the top of the lake. No, he stepped foot onto the water for them, to help them, to relieve them, to rescue them, to deliver them. The disciples would be wrong to think that the moment that Jesus began working in their situation was the moment that they visibly saw him. Because if the activity of Jesus began when he stepped from the shore into the storm, then that means that Jesus was at work in their circumstance, even though they couldn't see him. The activity of God began in their situation long before they were physically aware of him. And what was he doing? What was the activity of God as Jesus made his way from the shore into the storm? Well, Jesus was positioning himself within their circumstance to bring a revelation of himself that would ultimately bring deliverance and freedom. Think about it. Jesus was up the mountain when he saw them straining at the oars, so he changed his position. He came down the mountain and walked across the water to where they were. He didn't command from the mountaintop that the wind would disappear and the waves be still, although he could have done that. But no, he actually positioned himself in the middle of their struggle and in the centre of their difficulty. he turned up in their situation, that they would discover him within it. This is a really powerful picture. The disciples are straining at the oars, struggling in their oppression, battling the circumstances and the conditions before them, and completely unknown to them, Jesus is at work, positioning himself so that they can find his presence in the midst of their storm. Don't be disheartened when you don't see God working the way that you want him to, or think that he should, or even within the timescales that you'd like him to. Because he's the God of the 11th hour, he'll always manifest his reality just in the nick of time. But actually, is it really the 11th hour? Or is it an actual fact that God has already begun working in our situation long before we could see it? Is it that actually he's been moving the pieces, adjusting the landscape, setting the scene, navigating the circumstances to a place that at exactly the right moment you would see him and his hand at work? Because had it been any earlier, you might not have seen it. Had it been at any other point, you might not have recognised it as him or attributed it to his power. Had it been at any other point, you might not have been ready to see and receive all that he had to reveal and manifest. We can be guilty at times of only being able to see God's hand and work in the moments of the big and the grand and the powerful and significant. We can even be guilty of only really recognising his presence in the tangible and the visible, or when he's right there in front of us calling our name. But there are times when we need to adjust the lens, or change the lens even. If his activity begins long before we can see it, then there are times when we have to rest in his promises and the truth of his word. There are times when our faith isn't about seeing, but quietly perceiving. Times when what keeps us afloat is the inner knowledge, the quiet assurance, and the gentle but sincere trust that he has never failed me yet, and he's not going to start now. Equally, there are times when the adjusting of the lens involves us looking further and looking deeper. He might not be right there, he might not be in the space and place directly before us, but maybe if we lift our eyes up, maybe if we look a little bit further and a little bit deeper, maybe if we look through the rain and past the clouds, we might just see him and find him. And that glimpse of his presence, of his outline, the discovery of his fingerprint, or even just his shadow, is all that we need to know that he is there. He's in this. He's with us. The big truth that we need to learn is that he always is. He's always with us. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us, so it's not that he's not there. It's just that sometimes he's not where we want him to be, or where we think he should be. But that doesn't mean he's not with us. So the onus is on us to shift the gaze, to adjust the focus, to change the lens, to look and to see. He might not be in the place and space that we want him to be, but we can be confident of this. He's in the place and space that he needs to be. He sees how this all pans out. He knows this whole thing and how it all fits within the plan and the purpose. So he positions himself where he needs to be so that at the exactly right moment, he fills the place and space with his power and brings us into an encounter with him. Today, pause. Lift your eyes. Shift your gaze. Adjust your focus, change the lens. Look through the rain and the storm, see his outline, find the place that he occupies. He might be on the periphery, he might be right there in front of you, or he might be somewhere in between, but he is there, and he is here, and he's in this with you. He might not be in the place and space that you want him to be, but he is where he needs to be. See him, find him. perceive him. And let the confidence grow, the inner assurance, the quiet faith. He is there, he is here, he's in this with you, he's got you. He might be on the horizon, he might be walking towards you, he might be right there in front of you. Lift your head, shift your gaze. There's more to the story than you can see right now. He is in this with you, because he is a faithful God, and great is his faithfulness.
If you have felt the dark of night, questioning what is out of sight, he is the answer, he is the light. If you have felt the weight of sin, bound by the shame that's hemmed you in, he'll break the chains, he will forgive. Lift your head, morning is coming, there's more to the story. Don't forget, in grief and in glory, still great is his faithfulness. If you felt broken and betrayed, no one to trust alone, afraid, he'll comfort you, he knows your name. If you've wrestled with the ache of loss and why this has been your
fortress. Great is his faithfulness.